Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Highbury Squad. Apparently, and thank goodness he's on today's episodes, it's episode 40. Fabulous 40 for us, not so fabulous for the Guna Nation. Joining me on the show today, guess what? The whole fam jam's back. The Highbury Squad is here. Amanda, Princess Guna, say hello to the crowd.
Hello to the crowd.
Nice. And of course, we have one man who hopefully will help us put a lot of wrongs right and rights wrong today. Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Hello, ladies. How are you? Glad to be back on.
Yeah, we've missed you.
You've been on
two girls too.
Every other podcast, and now I feel like you've come home. He's come home to us.
I ain't on no every other podcast. Don't be so dramatic.
Oh,
wait,
me,
Kevin.
Dramatic.
Wait. I mean, Kevin, do you not know the woman? Of course you do. Drama is her middle name. Speaking of drama.
The person who wants to be assistant.
We'll get to that. I've already fired her. But anyway, we'll get to that. It's brilliant. Okay, so speaking of drama, boys and girls, it's not a good time to be an Arsenal fan. Unfortunately, and how many times have we said that over the last five or six seasons? We're going to get stuck right into it. And going to lead in with the last game, obviously, against Leicester. Now, what's really ironic is, and Kevin and Amanda and I were friends on Facebook and stuff, and I was going to send them a WhatsApp today to tell them this. And I thought, no, let me just wait until the show. Every Facebook memory I get, and it goes back to the last 5 or 6 years, is me bitching about Arsenal and how bad we are. And how awful things are, and when are we going to get this right, and when are things going to change? And here we are, once again, in a situation where we thought things were going to change. So I was going to ask you guys, here we are in a situation once again where in the summer we thought things were going to change, and unfortunately they have not. Leicester City, Amanda, I'll start with you. Before the game, we had fans losing their minds, posting memes of Vardy celebrating, fans wanting us to lose in case it would get Emery fired, fans praying that this time Emery would, you know, select the right team. So let's go through those steps. You first, and then we'll get to KC. Leicester, team selection, fans losing their minds, and us losing in the end, and what you made of all of it.
Well, it's really interesting because, as you know, I was away, and the day I went away, I bumped into Martin Keown and we had a little chat like you do. And I said to my other half, I'm really not fussed if I watch it or not. I'm really not. I've never, ever, ever been like that. And
that's sad.
I know. I went on Twitter and said I was off to Oxford, and some guy who lives in Oxford told me about a pub that will show it. And I thought, okay, well, if I'm around that area, excuse me, at that time. But because it poured with rain all day, we went shopping. And then we just naturally finished about 4:30, and I went, we might as well go to the pub. Not much else to do, is there? And I had the best seat in the place. I was sitting there thinking, I actually think we might do all right. All week I'd been thinking we were going to lose. I just think, as an Arsenal fan, you get this thing where you think you never know. But honestly, I did say that we would lose. I even said that we'd lose 3-1. And I just get this thing that when our backs are against the wall, sometimes we come out fighting, but we just don't anymore. It's just not like that. I can just see us losing every game, and I just wouldn't be shocked if that happened. But what I will say, we didn't actually play that badly the first half. We did a move from the back to the front that was so Arsenal-esque that it was great. We nearly scored from it, but I don't know what to say about team selection. I'm bored of saying it. He never picks anyone really that I think should play. When he plays Ozil, he doesn't play Pepe. When he plays Pepe, he doesn't play Ozil. I don't understand. That's what we need, the creativeness of Ozil to create chances for people that are going to score. Now, Lacazette's come back from an injury. He's not so great. Aubameyang, I'd like to get to in a minute. He's no captain, and I said that day one. And I just felt, we're just not Arsenal anymore. There's so much more I could go into, but we're talking about the match, yeah?
All right.
It's tough, Soph, but I'm not surprised.
I know. It's hard
2-0.
To quantify.
It is.
Okay. So let me get to, before you comment on the fans, because I want you and Kev to both do that. Kev, I know that you've spoken about it already, but just in a nutshell, the Leicester performance as a player, that second half, you know, because Amanda is right. There was a moment in the first half. If Lacazette buries that chance, which, by the way, you would have buried, you know, it would have been 1-0. We put the pressure on them. The game changes a little bit. But like Amanda said, again, we don't have the ability to do that anymore. Second half, we collapse. Mental goes against Leicester City. Now, people were talking them up before we even got there. Casey, how did you see that, especially in the second half, the way it unfolded?
Well, not just second half. I thought that he obviously changed the system, went with wing backs and obviously started Bellerin. And I thought it was perfect to play Tierney, but Kolasinac played. Arsenal, we'd done okay first half. I wasn't too fast. We looked okay, but don't forget Jamie Vardy had a great chance and normally would have scored that. He missed a sitter.
Mm.
Obviously we had a chance with Lacazette, and you know, you're hoping really, aren't you, that he finds his form and takes it. So you go in at half time 0-0 and it's not so bad, but you know, Leicester haven't even really started yet. And second half, we started okay again, but whenever Leicester started to turn the screw, we started to get deeper and deeper. Leicester scored. And then you knew from there it was all tools were down. We were organised, but we were disorganised. They didn't even play as well as they can, but they were just better than us on the day. And we didn't even look like scoring. What was really ironic for me was Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was at one end of the M1. And Lacazette was at the other side of the M1.
Yeah,
the way
weird.
They played, it was ridiculous how far they were apart. Now, I don't know what kind of tactic that is, but if we're looking to score goals, we've got to have them in the middle of the pitch looking to hurt their defence. So I was disappointed, to be honest, because I thought we could have got something out of the game if we believed in it and ourselves, but obviously the confidence is pretty low because, you know, of results of past.
Completely agree with both of you. What I don't like is what's happened since that game. And it actually started brewing a little bit beforehand. And it's a bit of a culmination of things. It started off with Arsenal fans, a small group. Let's not say Arsenal fans. Sophie, correct yourself. A small group of Arsenal fans who actually wanted the team to lose. Some were even posting memes of Jamie Vardy celebrating. I received quite a few of them myself. I thought it was utter garbage, disgusting. As bad as we are, you should never, ever want your team to lose. There's no right philosophy behind that. And then I think Xhaka's comments about the poisonous angle. Then you have the statement that came after that with regards to the board backing Emery. And that they're not going to succumb to the noise, which, you know, many Arsenal influencers, fans took huge offense to. And then you then throw in the Aubameyang AFTV troops situation. And I feel like what got lost, you guys, is that we were bad against Leicester. We didn't show any fight in the second half. And Casey's absolutely right. The players were so far apart. There was no cohesiveness, nothing. So the board backed Emery, but then what did they do? They created a distraction by putting it on the fans. Now, Amanda, I know that we have behaved badly at times. Our fans have behaved badly at times. You got Oba giving the club the finger on Instagram. Talk me through what your thoughts are on this, especially the fans who wanted us to lose. But then what happened after the game and how the narrative now has evolved into something toxic again?
Let me just get one thing straight here. The only time I'd ever want Arsenal to lose, if it stopped Tottenham winning the league or it relegated them. That is the only time I'd ever want them to lose. That's my opinion. No one's wrong or right with this. But as an Arsenal fan, if you bleed Arsenal, love Arsenal, just everything about you is Arsenal, you'd only want those two reasons, surely. And actually, I know people that wouldn't even want that. But I would. Two reasons. Tottenham to relegated or to stop them winning the league. Or, I can't. So, that's my reasons, yeah? I do find the younger fans a little bit harder to deal with. And I'll tell you why. They weren't around at the late 70s, early 80s at Highbury. They don't understand the difference between the matches at Highbury to the matches at the Emirates. The fact that even I've been thinking about it this week, that Emirates will never probably ever feel like home. It's soulless. Social media has ruined a lot of football for me. And to see my captain go on Instagram and give the club the finger, I am, mm-hmm. I can't even begin to tell you how much I want to have a word with him. Now, in a way, he's right. He's entitled to talk to who he wants. I've got no issue with that, but you do not go on social media and do that. What sort of, how can I put it, education does that give to people about respect? It's the Arsenal. I don't care that, as Lee Judge has said, and I have to quote this, that he thinks it's a circus at the moment, because it is. I don't care that it is a circus. You still have to respect your employers, and he doesn't. Now, I have an issue with Lacazette and Aubameyang. Their contracts are up next season, and they're going to be completely and utterly dictating what they want. They're probably going to wait and see if we get in the Champions League. Do I get that? Yeah, I do in a way. I do. They were probably promised God knows what. And we have Emery come in and whatever. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I thought the fans at Leicester sung their hearts out. I thought they travelled up. What way do they go? M1? Whatever way it is to Leicester. In the Midlands, in the pouring rain on a Saturday night, knowing 99.9999% that we were going to lose, still went, paid their money to watch that again dilapidate in the second half. I'm in two minds about certain things. I'd never have a meme of another club scoring against us. I became a Liverpool fan for 94 minutes last year when they played Tottenham in the Champions League. And I think every single Arsenal fan on this planet, including Kevin, did as well. But, yeah, but to want us to lose, to get rid of a manager, no, sorry, no. Because on that day, the minute that team walk on that pitch, you got to be supporting them with everything you've got. Not wanting them to lose. So there's a possibility that we did lose and he's not going. So that's another subject. But I think it's poor behaviour, if you ask me, of fans. I think it's quite precious as well, because you mm-hmm. really are making us a laughing stock. Now, there's been a lot of chat about fan TV, blogs, podcasts. And we're classed as that. We are a podcast. And I've podcasted about Arsenal for about 5 years, I think. Been on other pods. I have done some stuff on Arsenal Fan TV many years ago. Kevin does that now. You know what? It's not so bad giving a voice to people. If you don't like something, don't watch it. That's it. End of. Turn it off. So,
right.
I'm sorry, I know I've gone on to different things, but that's how my mind works.
No, you've covered the bases, and
Can I just say one thing? I'm very, very annoyed with Aubameyang for doing that on social media.
You know what? I really wanted to come back to that I know you haven't even gotten close to expressing how you feel about Aubameyang, and you in your mind you're still trying to, I know how mad you are about it, and I'm pretty mad. And Casey does, we've had Robbie on this show. I've been vocal to Robbie about the things I don't like about AFTV. Like you said, Amanda, you've been on the show. Casey hosts a show that, by the way, is very different to anything else on AFTV right now, which is why I think fans are embracing it. Casey, from a player point of view, you're going into a game with Adams and Dixon and Wrighty, and you hear that fans want you to lose a game against another team. As a player, talk us through that, and then please articulate your thoughts on the Aubameyang situation as well, especially as it pertains to troops and some of that stuff, because number one, you know, number two, you got the show on, and also in a player's mind, how do you feel about Aubameyang? How would you feel about Aubameyang if you were playing alongside him?
Well, the first part really is if you're in the dressing room with those guys, that's the last thing you think about is your own fans that expected you to lose. You know, we know sometimes fans could go in with some trepidation and not be sure, but to want the team to lose, that just goes against being a fan, doesn't it? As far as I'm concerned. So I don't really understand that one. I get what they want. They want the outcome of Emery out, Emery gone. And as far as they're concerned, they're thinking that's the quickest way to get him gone. But there was not, that's never set in stone anyway, as is proven right now. So I can't even understand how people can actually think that, who could call themselves Arsenal fans. I just don't get it. Moving on to the Aubameyang situation. Can anybody tell me Arsenal officially said that? Because as far as I know, it came from a journal.
It's a great question, and I don't know if anyone's...
But regardless, Ornstein, if he did...
It's Ornstein, wasn't it?
No, it doesn't matter. No, it matters a lot.
Why does it matter a lot if the club did it or didn't do it? He shouldn't be doing that on social media.
Now, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. So some journalist comes out and says something that the club never said.
Yeah.
Right? And it challenges the captain of the football club trying to say to him who he can and can't speak to.
Yep.
This is from a journalist. So it's not the club. It's the journalist.
Yeah.
So you're talking about him having a go at the club. He's not having a go at the club. He's having a go at the journalist. Because if you're on the inside of something and that has never been said to you, how could you be having a go at the club when it's the actual journalist who said they've done the piece?
Well, wasn't the journalist saying something that, you know, from a source?
A source. Well, that bloody hell. Nothing. What source? Yeah. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
This is all hearsay and smoke and mirrors. He's the captain. He's on the inside. I'm sure if that was said to him officially by someone at the club, he would have acted differently. But the fact of the matter is, it is a journalist who is trying to drive a wedge and tell our captain, whether we like it or not, what he can and can't do. And that is absolute BS. That's terrible, as far as I'm concerned. He's a grown man. He could speak and talk to who he likes. Whether, even if Arsenal had said to him, no, you can't do that. Who Arsenal to say he can't speak to the fans?
But that's, isn't Amanda right, though, Kevin, about her point?
Can I just say something? Sorry, Soph. I agree, Kevin. He can talk to who he wants. I don't care if you said it, a journo said it, Arsenal said it, or Tottenham said it. He does not go on social media and do that. He doesn't. You are captain of Arsenal. Who are you having a go at? A journalist? Okay. Say it was a journalist. I'd probably agree with you that Arsenal wouldn't have said that. What are you doing? Doing that on social media? You are not a fan. You are an employee of Arsenal Football Club. You are representing Arsenal Football Club. You're now captain and you're doing that. Sorry, that's what I think's wrong.
I agree with Amanda.
I agree he can talk to who he wants, and don't you dare tell him who he can and can't. That I disagree with. I agree with, but not doing that on social media. Sorry, no.
Well, listen, you could be upset about it, but the fact of the matter is, it's the journalist and not the club. So I think you're, I think you saying him having a go at the club, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
He's definitely not having a go at
the
club.
But my point is though, Kev, regardless, that's our captain doing that to a journalist who's wound him up. That's my point. He doesn't go on social media and do that. That's my
point. Can I interject real quick? Just real quick, because I've heard this argument as well out in the stratosphere that if the club did say that, and let's not kind of be naive here too. We do know that Bellerin hates AFTV. He came out and he spoke against it. Xhaka feels that part of his bullying has a lot to do with the noise, so-called noise going on, and we'll get to that bit, going on outside. But what's the difference between AFTV having a rant outside the stadium and the Daily Mirror doing a hatchet job on Ozil about going to a club or bringing up Nicholas Bentner's book or showing our players having fun when they were doing their little smoking in, you know, episode earlier this month? Why would there be a double standard? Do you think, Casey, that there could? Why? Because the Sun hasn't proven to be respectful of pretty much anything over the last however many years.
Listen, it's the pot calling the kettle black here. At the end of the day, they're pointing the finger. It seems like AFTV are getting a lot of flack. You know, this alternative media, the podcasts and the real stuff. Because at the end of the day, it's real people, real fans discussing their football club that they love. So they can say what they like. After the game, the people pay their money to go to the games. They deserve an opportunity to say what they feel. And sometimes people are wrong and they say nasty things. But not everybody. But you will get the same thing in the boozer. You will get the same thing as talking to your mate.
Yeah.
So this is why I can't understand. But it seems like there's a witch hunt against the real fan now. The real fan is supposed to just turn up and shut up. And that is never going to happen, especially at Arsenal.
And especially with social media today and everything. So we're in agreement on that front. Double standards. Nobody should be telling anyone who they can and can't talk to. But just to wrap up this particular conversation that also leads into something Amanda brought up that's really important, and that's Oba and Laka's contracts. The one thing we don't agree on, Casey, I think Amanda and I are on different sides here, is Aubameyang shouldn't have done that regardless. He should have done something a lot classier than that.
Yeah.
I don't think he came across as the man who is now the leader of this team. I agree with Amanda. I don't find him captain material. Maybe Bellerin's not ready to play every week and he's not making that commitment. You know, if David Luiz, I don't know, but he's not captain material. It's just not
Sophie,
right.
Yes. Sophie, he's just taken the captain's armband.
It doesn't matter, Kevin.
No.
When I get promoted at work, I've got to take on the role day one.
I'm not making excuses. If you just hear me out a second. He's just taken the captain's armband. So what you're saying is nobody as captain can make a mistake. That's what you're saying.
We enable our players a bit too much, I think. That's
So can you answer that question? So none of the players, Aubameyang can't make a mistake.
After everything that's happened with Xhaka and all the crap that's been going on, he should have thought a little bit better on that one. Yes, go on, Amanda.
Kev, he's been captain for a week. I understand when Adam's made mistakes months and years later, but 1 week and he's done that on social media. For me, he shouldn't have been captain anyway. It would have been Bellerin in my head the way he is. I love Aubameyang. I'm not here to slag him off. I think he's done one thing wrong, and that is to stick two fingers up to whoever. Look.
No, you said it was the club. Let's have this right,
yeah,
Amanda.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was the club.
But it's not the club.
That's fine. But he still
I want you to retract it,
I'm
dog.
Going to retract it wasn't the club. But that's not the point. Shut up, you.
It is.
If I'd have gone out and said to Aubameyang, don't talk to someone else, right? Just why are you responding to a journalist or some blogger or something? Just be captain of that club and do your job for a sinking ship. That should be more your priority. He has given you the captaincy. He accepted the captaincy. And where is he being a captain? Day one. I'm sorry. No, he's wrong.
Amanda, social media is part of it now.
Okay, so
whether
this
we like it, whether we like it or not.
Right, listen to
me. You can't have it both ways.
Yes, no. Social media, right? Not every single player and every single team is on social media. They don't all do it, okay?
But Aubameyang is.
Okay.
So that's what we do know.
All right, Aubameyang is. I like watching his Instagram. I like his football stuff. I like it. This is wrong. He used it wrong, Kevin. He is captain of Arsenal.
No, that's in your opinion.
Oh, come on.
That is in your opinion.
Right.
Well, in many people's... Hold on 1 second, guys. Referee stepping in here. Ding, ding. It's the opinion of a lot of Arsenal fans, Casey. It's
no,
not...
That's fine, but it's their opinion.
It is, but...
But it's not everyone's opinion.
Okay, Bellerin wouldn't have done that. That's the point. Like, you know, and you know, Sir Alex Ferguson and a lot of managers back in the day, they had very strict rules, as you probably did, about who you could talk to and who you couldn't. I'm not saying that George Graham told you guys you can't talk to that person and blah, but there's a lot of managers who do not and did not allow their players to talk to certain members of the media. And I think there's a division in the Arsenal camp across many different things. The Xhaka situation. Think about this. Bellerin, I can't remember any other player that came out and supported Xhaka and said, look, we're all human. We all make mistakes at sometimes the wrong moments. Do you remember Oba or Laka or any of those guys coming out and defending Xhaka? I don't, but Bellerin did. He acted like a captain. He came out as the person who really is one of the best things about the club right now and acted like a captain. And that's, I think, what Amanda and I are trying to get at is Aubameyang didn't think about that. It doesn't, you know what? I'm going to say something here and it's just my opinion. I don't think it matters to him the same way it matters to Bellerin.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
I totally disagree. I totally disagree.
It doesn't matter because he hasn't signed his contract.
No, but all I'm saying is, it's quite ironic the way you see it and the way I see it. I disagree. I don't think the fact that because sometimes what as a captain, the captain, how are you going to go against, are you going to go against your teammate or are you going to go against the fan base? Whereas the fan base have a right to do what they like when they're in the stadium. It don't make sense. It doesn't make sense what you're saying.
What doesn't make sense? Do you think the captain of Arsenal?
How is it captain material to back Xhaka? How?
Wait, who said anything about us wanting to back Xhaka?
No, you said Bellerin backed Xhaka was captain material.
The way he came out and spoke vocally to try and calm fans and everybody down.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing with that. It had nothing to do with what you're saying. He was showing leadership.
You said he showed captain quality.
Yes, he did.
By coming
he showed
out and
leadership.
Backing Xhaka.
He did. No, I never. I said that he showed captain material leadership qualities coming out and backing up Xhaka in the moment. Yes, but what his end goal was. You're missing the point. That's what he said. Yes, you are. What he tried to do was unite everybody, Kevin. He came out and was trying to show that we're all human and we make mistakes. So
Amanda.
Yes, darling.
Sophie, did Granit Xhaka come out and say he made a mistake?
Sort of.
Did he? Yes or no?
Well, sort of.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
He never really
apologized.
I made a mistake, but a roundabout way, he was trying to say he's human. It's got to him.
So how can you defend him when he hasn't even said I made a mistake?
Okay, can I just say something, let me just say something.
I want to move this on in a second.
Kevin, what Sophie's saying is Bellerin acted like a captain in the way he dealt with Xhaka. That's what we're saying, okay?
That's what I said.
Yeah, but we're not saying we're defending Xhaka. This is not about Xhaka. This is about Bellerin.
Yeah, I know. And I'm saying, how is that captain quality
right, okay, because
when you're defending someone who hasn't even who hasn't even said he made a mistake.
Because you don't throw your teammate under the bus. What he tried to do was defuse the situation between fans and Xhaka. So what we're saying is, Aubameyang's going on social media doing what he's doing. That's not captain material. Okay.
In your eyes.
But all right, in me and Sophie's eyes. In your eyes, yes. It's not. Okay. Do you think Aubameyang is captain material?
He's the captain. So whether I think he's captain or not,
that's not what I've asked you.
Answer the question.
I've not asked you that.
He is captain.
No, but you answer Amanda's question.
Does Kevin Campbell think Aubameyang is captain material? Yes or no?
He is the captain.
Oh, you're so annoying.
I think he's captain material or not, he is the captain.
Okay, well, me and Soph don't think he is.
Okay, I'm going to move this on. Okay, stop. Okay, here we go. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little breather. You are listening to the Highbury squad, by the way, and what a cool squad we are. Amanda Princess Gunas here today. We've got Super Kevin Campbell, who took the lawyer's response on that one, or should I say politician. But we'll get back to him in a minute. I do want to talk about Emery, but I want to save that until the end of the show because of a little something I've prepared for Amanda and Kevin. But in the meantime, let's take a little bit of a ding-ding. And talk about another subject that somehow is taking the shine off us a little bit. And I say a little bit, but it's really become the centerpiece of the season. And that is VAR. I think when I say it, there you go. That's Amanda's response. I know that Casey has question marks. We've seen a lot of terrible decisions last weekend that I think was the crescendo for a lot of fans in, you know, going from hating to loathing the introduction of VAR. People enjoying watching the League Cup this season. We may see the numbers go up because there is no VAR and you can really tell the difference. So who better to bring in? It's been a while since we've had him on the show. Do not be distracted by his accent at all. let's bring on the ref. Hello, Ref. Welcome
to the
show.
Hello there. How are you?
We are pretty good. Say hello to Amanda.
Hello, Amanda. How are you?
Hello, Ref. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. Very well indeed.
And a man who's seen a few yellow cards in his time. I don't know how many reds you've seen, Casey. How many times were you red carded?
Never.
No.
That's because I didn't referee him.
Hey, ref, I know that one. You'd have sent him off,
definitely.
referee, where do we begin? It is an absolute hot mess. So shit, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand it over to Amanda, and then I'd love to hand it over to Casey, who will have it from a player point of view. But I feel like if Amanda doesn't get it off her chest, referee, you may want to card her after this. It could be a soapbox moment. I don't know, but take it away. Just make sure you ask about poor Sheffield United, okay? But no, go on, Amanda.
Well, to be honest, the ref knows how I feel. And to be fair, for the first time ever, we both agree.
Hold on a second. But you're cavorting with the referee behind our backs.
Yeah, I've cavorted for years with the referee behind your back. But anyway, let me carry on. Right. So, as a person that actually goes to the games and not watches them on TV, to actually sit there now, the game is ruined. And so many spectators that go to the grounds are saying the same thing, not just me. We sit there, we jump to celebrate a goal, we go mental, and then it dawns on you that they're looking at VAR. You all sit down, the whole ground doesn't know what's going on. The fan is treated so bad, the match-going fans are treated so bad, that when you're at home watching it on TV, you know exactly what's going on. They show you replays, they tell you what's going on. We don't know a thing. This sign comes up on the bloody scoreboard saying VAR is whatever it is. And you sit there and you go, oh my God. Right. Now, because we're Arsenal, we're an Arsenal pod, I just want to talk about Callum Chambers' goal, because the rule is that it can be cancelled out if it's a clear and obvious foul. Now, I sat there and I spoke about this on the last pod. It felt like 10 minutes before they came back and said no goal. Now, it was 2-2. It would have made us 3-2. Not only would I have got my prediction right for once ever, it would have given us the 3 points. It was not a clear an obvious goal, error, sorry, foul. Clear and obvious foul. Because if it was, it would have taken 10 seconds to look at, not 50,000 angles from a ref who refs in Australia or something that has now cancelled that goal out. It is ruining the game. It's ruining my entertainment. It's not only because Arsenal are getting cancelled out, match after match after match after match. It's fucking up. I mean, let's talk about Sheffield United against Tottenham. What the fuck were they doing? I mean, this is not a game because we're biased against Tottenham. I do feel Tottenham have had quite a few VAR go for them, but that may be because I see them through Arsenal eyes. But I've watched so many matches where VAR has ruined the game. I thought it was brought in to enhance it. I now hate it. And the reason Sophie said about the league is that when Arsenal played at Liverpool, I enjoyed the whole game. There was no VAR. Now, there was two instances in that game. That one went for Liverpool and one went for Arsenal, and it shouldn't have. And VAR would have cancelled that out. But hey ho, that's football. And I am sick of it. And if it continues in this manner, and it's affecting so many teams, not just Arsenal at all, so many teams are not benefiting from this. It's actually the opposite. It's ruining it for me. There we go. There's my rant.
Referee, if you can remember all of the points.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether Kev wants to jump in first, because I have quite a bit to say, and it's a narrative.
Let's do that. All right, let's do that. Casey, what would you like to say about VAR?
I don't like it. It should be scrapped.
Yeah.
It's ruining the game. It's absolute. I think the referees are in. It's making the referees' job even more difficult. If I'm really honest, because stuff that happens and the ref gives it, he gives what he sees. And then VAR is actually, which it shouldn't do, is overturning the decision. You know, this is ridiculous. If they could bring the fans in, put it up on the screen so the fans could see it, everyone could see it, it might work. It might be a little bit easier. But, you know, I don't even want to talk about it.
Let's let the ref address it because, you know, it works in other countries. It seemed to work better in the Champions League. We've seen Sheffield United, Everton, Manchester City all robbed over the last couple of weeks. Referee, please take it away.
Okay. So I'm going to start on a baseline, and Kevin's absolutely correct there. If you remember what I said when we discussed this last season, you know that I was not for VAR coming in. And the reason why I was anti-VAR coming in the main was because whether we like it or not, the majority of decisions given by a referee in a football match are subjective. So I can have an opinion. You can have an opinion. Uncle Joe Cobley can have an opinion, and it could be three different opinions. So the referee has to be the final arbiter of a close call decision. He has to be, because you cannot, as Kevin has just said, the Callum Chambers one is the absolute archetypal dog's breakfast of a VAR decision. It was a complete balls up from the start. And this is where the authorities have not got it underpinned from the start. So the referee gives a decision on the field. Okay. VAR then look at it and then go, in our opinion, you've made a mistake, overturn that decision. There, straight away, you have caused more controversy than before. So this sorting out contentious decisions has gone out the window. What should happen in that instance, if Stockley Park think that the referee has made an error, they should be communicating that to him and asking him to go and look at the screen on the side of the field for him to review the decision. Then one of two things happens. The referee looks at it and goes, no, I'm sticking with my original decision. Play on, or we start the game again. Or you're correct. I've made a clear and obvious error. That is now no goal. Either way, whether you agree with the referee or not doesn't matter. Whether Amanda thinks it's a foul by Callum Chambers or not, and obviously it wasn't, but whether she agrees with it doesn't matter. Actually, what matters is that the final decision maker, the arbiter of that decision, should be the person on the field. Because if you don't leave it at that, what you're doing is creating more problems because you're giving two people with two different opinions, and that is wrong. And it also, as Kev says, it makes the referee's job virtually impossible. If you take the decision, obviously the one that everyone is talking about from the weekend, the handball with Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, you can debate it till the cows come home of whether someone thinks that's handball or not. Handball is a subjective opinion, whether someone believes by the laws of the game that that is handball according to the rules. One person can look at it and say it's handball. Another one can say it isn't. The referee has to be the person who makes that decision. So if you're going to bring VAR in and you're going to tell a referee that he may have made an error, the referee has to utilise that screen. And he has to be able to change his mind. And he should not be crucified for either changing his mind or actually keeping with his decision on the field. So that's one thing. This is where the authorities have not helped the referee out. And they've not helped the match-going fan, because no one has a clue what's going on in the ground, as Amanda said. And that is absolutely disgusting, because they're the fee-paying people who put their hard-earned money over the turnstiles and actually go in and support their team week in, week out. And they're the people who are losing out. And that moment when you celebrate, I mean, I'll bring Arsenal into it. Just imagine you had VAR when Michael Thomas scored. I mean, seriously. I mean, you because of the seriousness of the goal, you'd be stood there going, what's the referee doing?
I would have had a breakdown.
So it's the match-going fan who is losing out.
Yeah.
So firstly, the authorities have not underpinned how they're going to approach VAR, and they're changing their minds as they go along. At the start of the season, referees were not being overruled when there was clear and obvious errors taking place. But David Silva at Bournemouth for City, Joel Matip at Anfield for Liverpool, Rodri at the Etihad for Manchester City, all clear and obvious fouls that the referee was not overruled on or asked to look at, play on. And then you have the Callum Chambers decision. So they've changed how they're doing it. Now they're saying that they're telling the clubs this week at a meeting that they're going to allow the referees, or they're going to encourage the referees to utilise the screen.
Oh.
So again, a third of the way into the season, and they've changed the way that the referees are going to approach VAR. Again, we're making it up as we go along, instead of doing it at the start of the season and going, this is every scenario you can think of, this is how we're going to approach it. The reason that it works better in Europe is because it is clear what the referee does. In a contentious decision, the referee goes and looks at the screen. That's what he does. And then he changes his mind or he keeps it. We know, we might not agree with the referee, but we're clear on how the referee approaches it. No one has a clue what the referee is doing from one week to the next at the moment. And this then turns to the Sheffield United incident. My God, where do I start with this? That they have managed to take the one thing that you can actually use VAR for, because it's a line call, which is offside. They have managed to absolutely ruin the offside rule and the perception of offside in one failed swoop. So you go to that Sheffield United incident. VAR took 3 minutes and 42 seconds. Think about that. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And 42 seconds for someone to decide that's clearly offside. Well, it's not clearly offside, is it? Because if it's taking you 3.5 minutes, it can't be. They could stop that straight away by having a time bar on it. They could say after a minute, if you can't decide whether he's offside, he stays with the attacking team. But more importantly, Kev, you're a striker. Are you still with me, or have you fallen asleep, Kevin?
No, I'm here. I'm listening intently.
You're a striker. You know that when you are on the shoulder of the last man, you're going to try and gain any advantage you can to get past that defender, aren't you? That's what you're going to do. So you're going to try and time your run so that you are onside, level at best, yeah? That's what you're going to try and do.
Yeah.
As a striker now, I always, it's almost turned professional football into the way you referee a Sunday morning where you don't have a linesman. So when I don't have a linesman on a Sunday morning, I say to each team before the game, I say, listen, this is not the Premier League. We do not have linesmen. So tell your strikers that if they are level, the likelihood is I'm going to give them offside. Because if they're level, they're going to end up ahead of the centre half. When I see it, I'm not side on. I'm deep. I'm going to think he's offside. They've got to give a yard. They've got to give. Now, if you're a centre forward, you are being judged offside by your armpit and the paint on your shoe. That's exactly. Not a joke.
I know.
That's not a joke.
I know, but it's so ridiculous.
That offside for Sheffield United, if you look at what they've given it for, what's played him offside, it is the very edge of his boot, like the very edge. It is ridiculous. Firmino was caught offside against Aston Villa by a centimetre of his armpit. I'm sorry, but you are just taking away the art of being a top centre forward. The best centre forwards know when to time a run. They know where they are with the defender. Salah's goal at weekend actually is a good example. He's onside, yet people are trying to prove that he's offside by drawing lines across the field. And it's like, listen, stop it. Just stop it. He's onside. Just look at you. Look at your eyes. Use your eyes. He's onside. He's timed his run to perfection. Now, I'm telling you, strikers are going to give themselves half a yard, and that is going to benefit the defending side. If you're up against, I don't know, you're up against a Maguire or a Van Dijk or a Laporte, and you've got to give him half a yard, you've got no chance, have you, Dev?
It just makes life, it makes life double hard for the striker. The margins are so fine to start with anyway. So if you have to give him half a yard, oh my God, forget it.
They have managed in one failed swoop to take everything that they could sort out. I remember discussing it on this pod, and I think it was with you, Soph, about sorting out big decisions. There's so much money involved in the game. Well, well, what we've got now is a situation where the authorities have managed to throw everything into a pot, stir it round, and no one has a clue what's coming out of the other end. And it has just turned it into an absolute fiasco. And I have to say, you know better than me, Kev, dealing with the authorities. It doesn't surprise me.
It not does not one
surprise
bit.
Me.
It's a not shit show, and it's not even a joke. It's not funny, and it's ruining it for match-going fans.
And the ref said something really interesting too, because one of the arguments that has been ensuing on social media is the value of the fan that goes through the turnstiles and the fan at home. I mean, we haven't even gotten onto the subject of how the evolution of this game is going to grow when they're talking about adding AR experiences when there's a goal, like does the ball explode and is on fire? Like if you're watching a game on TV, they're talking about the NBA here and ideas like that for basketball, and they've tested some stuff. So we're really moving into a new era of the game. And I think something that you've all encapsulated is, especially our fans, and I think even our generation fans, but I think even young fans, this isn't fun. It's
no.
You can't celebrate the celebration part of it. Some people say, well, don't you like the drama? I kind of don't. I'd actually really rather go back to arguing in the pub with people.
I was just going to say that my dad has actually got a question for you, Ref. He says, would you carry on with VAR? And if so, would you implement any changes?
Firstly, hello, Kelvin.
Hi, what's going on here with all this familiarity?
Bloody hell, he's known his name.
I'm going to start finding people around here, Casey.
Kelvin's my go-to. He's my man. Would I carry on with VAR? I think we've got to be realistic. It's not going anywhere, is it? Let's face facts. It's going to be here. They're not going to get rid of it. They won't do it. I'd scrap it tomorrow, but they're not going to. So it's going to be here forever. Would I change anything? There's about 53 things I'd change. Firstly, I'd bring a time bar in on the offside decisions. In fact, on any decision, if you can't tell that something's clear and obvious after a minute, it's not clear and obvious. I would refine the offside law. One thing we haven't discussed, what have they done to the handball rule?
Oh, it's funny. It's funny now.
So,
No one knows.
Now it's funny.
Firstly, see, the Trent Alexander-Arnold one on Sunday, I've watched probably about 20 times to try and ascertain whether it's an actual penalty or not. And I'm still not sure. I keep changing my mind. I see one view and I think it's a definite penalty. I see another view and it hits Trent's thigh and comes off and hits his arm. I think, well, it can't be a penalty. So I change my mind every time I see it, which sort of tells me it's not a penalty. However, the rule itself, again, they've taken a rule and they have distinguished between the attacking team and the defending team and changed the rule for each. What are they doing? So if the ball hits an attacking player's hand in the box and leads to a goal, the goal is chalked off regardless of how that handball comes along. But if it hits a defensive player's arm, then it either has to be deliberate or the arm has to be in an unnatural position or whatever. You cannot have one rule for one team and one rule for another. This is ridiculous. They are just managing to absolutely complicate a very, very simple game. In my head, it's dead simple, but they're managing to complicate it. If I was a stranger coming to football now and I watched that game on Sunday, I'd be thinking, I've got a clue what's going on. It's like rugby union. All of a sudden, no one has a clue. It's like, well, you had Alan Shearer on Match of the Day trying to go through the rules, saying, well, according to the rules, but then they spoke to the people at Stockley Park and they said, no, you can discount that. I don't know. It's bonkers. Well,
one of the things, and being someone who watches the game from overseas and brilliant analysis referee, wouldn't you agree, Amanda and Casey? Brilliant there, yeah. from the ref. Some really interesting points. Sorry, Casey, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question. You know, apparently some of the people who do the VAR at Stockley Park have been rugby people or have not been involved in football. Do you agree with that?
I do and I don't. I don't know whether you know, Kevin, but I do a bit of work in rugby league. Right. So I work with a professional rugby league team in a different capacity. And that's a really interesting concept. If you look at people who work within the rule setting and the way that they do the video refereeing in rugby league, and you speak to how they approach it, I don't actually mind the fact that people from other sports might be consulted or even involved. In fact, in some ways, to be honest, they might have a better view of it if actually having a step back and going, have you actually thought about that? I don't believe for one minute that any of the rubbish that we're putting up with at the moment is anything but a conglomeration of the Premier League, the referees, officials and the FA who couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. Mm.
Fair enough.
Absolutely brilliant.
They're about as useful as Raheem Sterling in a fight.
Oh,
that was a bit controversial, wasn't it?
That's a bit controversial, like the referee kind of.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a yellow card, I'd give it to you.
As long as he cuts his nails, we'll be fine.
Well, listen, referee, we appreciate you coming on the show, and we look forward to continuing the VAR conversation with you as the season progresses. It has been a while, but we knew that when we'd get you back, there'd be a lot to talk about. It's a shit show. We all agree.
I have a funny feeling that in about, where are we now? November.
Mm-hmm.
I have a funny feeling that in about 3 or 4 months, when the Champions League qualifying stages start, there'll be a real storm about VAR in this country, because then you'll see decisions taken in very, very, very high-end games that'll be seamless, that Europe seem to get right, and we'll still be flying around with mistakes happening left, right and centre. So I actually think the heat will come really on them in the next 3 or 4 months. So about February, March time, I think it'll be terrible.
Yeah, but Riff.
Yeah. Only if it pertains to Liverpool, probably.
Why is the Premier League different to Europe?
Because I've just told you.
They don't go to the screens, Kev. That's why. Yeah, well,
No,
it's not just that, Kevin. It's not just that. What Europe have done is they have clarified the exact way that they approach their VAR. Now, I don't agree with all of it, I have to say, but they have clarified it. It's nailed down. So, you know, you're in the ground. So when you're at a European game, when you're at a Champions League game, you do not have the level of confusion of what's happening. You know what the referee's going to do. All of a sudden it's VAR. Then he'll either go to the screen or he'll say play on. And it happens within a minute.
Ref, that's the point I'm trying to say. If all of Europe are doing the same thing, why are England doing it different? Why do they decide to, we're not going to do it like that? We're going to do it different.
Because, Kevin, they are utterly, utterly incompetent.
I get you. I'm with you, ref.
They are. I'm with you.
I'm just saying. Can I just say something to Sophie? You just made a barbed comment about a football team who's top of the Premier League.
Bad comment. Hmm. Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm here. Did I just get a yellow card?
Barbed comment. 34. The 34 points at top of the league, aren't they? That's what they are. 2 points that they didn't get was due to a contentious decision at Old Trafford. Just saying.
Well, listen, swings and roundabouts. Okay. Referee, it's been an absolute pleasure. Some great questions as well from the squad. We appreciate you. Good luck with...
Thank you. Good luck to Arsenal.
Thanks for your honesty, ref. Thank you.
No problem. Need it.
Thanks.
What did Amanda say?
I said, we're going to need it. We'll be relegation fodder in about 3 weeks' time.
Oh, well, good luck anyway.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you. Goodbye,
Thanks, mate.
Brilliant stuff there from the ref. Great questions, you guys. A very passionate conversation, subject matter, this VAR thing. And I have a feeling, in terms of what the ref said, I agree. Like, it could end up costing a team really big. We've seen it in the past without VAR, but the fact that we have the technology and that it could cost a team at the top or the bottom, that's kind of scary. Really scary stuff. Right, I have something for you guys. Are you ready?
Yes, yep. We're ready as ever.
All right, so there's going to be a sound. When the sound stops, you both just have to say hello, okay? You ready?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello? I'm looking for Kevin Campbell and Amanda. Schiavi, why do you pronounce your name? I'm American. I don't really know. Hey, how are you?
What are you going on about?
I'm fine, by the way. Yeah. How are you?
Listen, it's Stan Kroenke here. I fired my son Josh. I can't deal with his goddamn incompetence. Plus, he's a PR disaster. The only noise being made around this place is his ass hitting the door on the way out. I need some new blood at the Arsenal. I also fired that guy called Emery. God damn, couldn't understand a word he said. I'm wondering if you guys are looking for a job.
Yeah, I'll have the manager's job if you don't mind, Stan.
And I'll have the assistant manager's job.
Oh, I know you won't. If I'm manager, I choose.
Well, I'd like to offer Amanda the vice president of football operations job. And Kevin, if it's cool with Amanda, which I think it is, because in that position, well, damn it, I've just given her too much power. I'd like to give you the job of coach. Will you take it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. Now, I'll stop being Stan Kroenke now. And well, I did take you guys by surprise. I said I would. My introduction completely fell apart, but I think I got my shit together in the end. Right.
I answered you. It's nice to see that Amanda didn't.
I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Who knows if it will make the final cut. But jokes aside, if you were Stan Kroenke, and we've been joking on Twitter, Amanda wanting to be the assistant of Arsenal, Kevin, you know, we look at this all the time. We talk about this all the time. I have something for you both. I want you to give me a fired or hired response to this, okay? And then after, I want you guys to be thinking about who you would want your next manager to be, who you would want the assistant maybe, how you would look at that, and ultimately, what is the real role of the captain? And then we'll leave it at that. Okay, so Aubameyang and Lacazette, do you offer them a new contract? Are they hired or fired?
Hired.
Hired.
Okay. Socrates Papadopoulos. Papastathopoulos. Hired or fired?
Fired.
Fired.
Kolasinac.
Fired.
Fired.
Holding.
Hired.
Fired.
David Luiz.
Fired.
No, he's still hired.
Bellerin.
Hired.
Hired. Hired.
Torreira.
Hired. In the right position.
Fired.
Oh, shush you.
Guendouzi.
Hired.
In the reserves, hired.
Xhaka.
Fired.
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 Ozil.
Hired, hired, hired.
Fired.
Pepe.
Hired.
Hired.
Leno.
Hired.
Hired.
Tierney.
Hired.
Hired.
Right. I'm not going to go into Martinelli and all those
hired.
Guys.
And
stuff all like hired. That, all of them are hired. Them
all lot. Of them are hired. Saka and Smith Rowe and all of those are yep. hired, right? Okay, so Emery, I left him till last because it's really the biggest debate right now. And you kind of gone through the team and you can see like you were hesitant on some of the hires. And I think we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. In the transfer market, it just never seems to kind of really work out for Arsenal. Amanda, who would you like to replace Emery with? Would you give him till the end of the season? Would you make the choice now? How would you formulate a team given the opportunity?
I thought we were doing hired and fired. And if it's Emery, it's fired.
No, just finished.
No, now it's now you're mate. Now you're creating your coach, your team. I just gave you a job, VP of operations. Have you forgotten your responsibilities already? A bit like Aubameyang, eh? Pointing the finger at Aubameyang.
Don't dare say that. I'll be on social media telling you off in a minute. What am I supposed to be doing?
Who's your, do you want to keep Emery till the end of the season? If not, who do you replace him with? Right now.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Yeah. Fired tomorrow, yesterday, today. I think it's too big for him, this job. I'd just put Freddie in, really. He'd get the crowd on his side. He'd have, a non-toxic atmosphere. I think the players might listen to him. He, might bring in somebody to help him just to the end of the season. He cannot. Even I couldn't do any worse than Emery. So why not give Freddie a chance and then go for someone that's going to fit the club in the summer?
All right. So, KC, what would you do? Fire him now? Wait till the end of the season? The role of captain?
No, he'd have gone Saturday night for me. And I would. My first choice was always been Allegri. I'd get Allegri in now. Freddie could be his assistant because he knows the players, but Allegri will get this team defensively sound because we're all over the place at the minute. We are all over the place. He will get it defensively sound and that is will be a good platform to attack. So I'd go for Allegri.
And as an ex-player, what's the value of captain? I don't think it's the same now as it was back in the day, Casey. We've talked about that before. But what would you do with this position that it seems like no Arsenal player really wants to truly take full responsibility of?
I'll go and buy one. I'll go and buy a captain. Because there doesn't seem to be one outstanding candidate with the whole squad.
I still say Bellerin.
No, he's not captain material. He's not. When they're up against it, can you see Bellerin fighting fire with fire, showing that passion? I just can't see it. And he's a good lad and he's a good player and everything, but he's too nice for me.
I can see what Kev means by that.
I want somebody when the chips are down.
Someone who eats a steak.
He does go in a little bit. I've seen him lose it, you know.
No, I'm not saying. Hey, Amanda, I'm not saying he can't lose it. He's a good player, he's a good lad, and all that. But I want more. I want fire. I don't want he gets in a little bit. I want fire.
He wants fire. He wants.
Well, that's my opinion.
No, I agree with you, but the days have gone, I'm afraid.
Who has fire in our team? I'm sorry. It's
That's why you go and buy one.
Yeah, you got to buy several. You got to buy bonfire. You got not just a fire. We need a bloody bonfire. We need dynamite, don't we? Look, I know Emery really sucks right now. There's no doubt about that. But crikey, some of these players are utter spineless dross. They really have a lot to answer for. I mean, they just capitulated. They folded like cheap lawn chairs against Leicester. And Ozil got his chance and he did nothing again.
Come on.
Hold on one second. He starts Kolasinac over Tierney. Then you see how Robertson plays for Liverpool. We keep comparing the two and the guy's never given a chance, you know, against a Leicester team that really at moments we did expose them with the counter attack. And it's just when I see their centre back, the Turkish boy, I'd love to pronounce his name, but I don't want to bastardize it. That's the kind of fire we need in our back line. A player like that. And we keep
missing. Well, we weren't linked with him, weren't we?
I mean, it's just a tragedy that we just keep missing out on these guys that we end up looking at and saying, oh, he'd be great, or oh, what a leader. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of things that are not right. And the only way to deal with that is to start with a clean slate. So I too would get rid of Emery. I'd actually go and knock on Arteta's door and give him the job until the end of the season and let him audition for it. In terms of unity in the club, if you have Arteta and Freddie there together, Arteta has been under the tutelage of Pep. There's a reason why Pep lets him make a lot of decisions. He's been simmering Pep down on the sideline a lot this season. And I love that idea. He's a classy guy, representing the club really well. And I think he'll have some good ideas. No, but until the end of the season, we got nothing to lose, Casey.
Yeah, but will he come to the end of the season? He's got a long-term contract at City.
Well, it depends on the type of club that we want to be. I mean, at the end of the day, we also just never show ambition and we never show true ambition. You know, they kind of make you get excited about signing Pepe for $72 million. And then then you're told pipe down. You're making too much noise. I mean, some of the PR, I mean, I know I may have fluffed my lines earlier, but seriously, the PR coming out of the club right now is a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really a difficult situation. And at the end of the day, it's really become depressing. It's not fun. I mean, look, you've got Amanda thinking about not watching the game.
Mm.
I mean, I know.
It's never happened.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's never happened before.
I mean, I know a lot of, you know, the difficult thing is, Sophie, Amanda, when fans know what having a great team is like, they know the feeling. They know what it looks like on the pitch. They know when the chips are down that the team will turn up. And when you don't see these things, it's painful. It hurts. It hurts a lot. And that's why people are being resigned to doing crazy stuff, not wanting to watch, or basically, you know, they're out of love with it.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, look, we're going to wrap things up here. Amanda, you wanted to wrap up with a couple of bits as well that were somewhat football related.
One of my favourite TV programmes on every November, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I absolutely love. And now Mr. Ian Wright is going into it. I am beyond excited and it is brilliant. Kev, have you ever watched it?
Never.
Right. Are you going to watch it or not?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm not going to watch it, but I know I'm going to see all the bits and pieces on social media anyway.
Honestly, Wrighty is either going to stroll and win it or he's going to be hated because it's really soul bearing as well. And you know, he's not quiet. I can't wait. So from all of us,
Wrighty's going to cry.
We wish, yeah, of course he will. We're going to wish him the best of luck and we want that gooner to win. I'm a Celebrity. Oh, yeah. Get me out of here. Can't wait.
It's the only title we'll win this season.
At least he doesn't have to get to watch Arsenal being in the jungle. He won't get to see anything. Yeah, that was what I wanted to say.
What if we go on a winning run while Wrighty's in the jungle? He's going to have to stay there.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep him there.
Make a note of that, Amanda.
Yeah.
Right, any other business? Anything else anyone wants to get off their chest? We've been at it for about an hour and 10 minutes. Thanks to the ref, thanks to you guys. Anything you want to... It's the interdull.
I'm pleased.
Go to Cambridge.
Listen, all the best to the women's team against Spurs this weekend.
Come on, you Arsenal ladies.
Yeah.
Definitely.
First game at their new stadium.
Do they have VAR?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, it might be a pleasure to watch it.
Yes. Okay. If you want to see an Arsenal team win, go watch the ladies, or the women, as they like to call them now.
We may have to do a prediction for Southampton.
Why? Are you planning on not talking football next week?
I don't know. Who knows?
We do it on our video.
Are you that excited about predicting already? I mean, yeah, right now.
I don't even want to predict Arsenal at the minute.
Kevin, I loved your video because although you went 2-0, you didn't believe it was going to be 2-0. And I could see it in your face. And I was like, he doesn't think this is going to be 2-0.
Listen, I can't go against Arsenal, but I know you can't. I'm in a bad place.
We're in a bad place if you've gone for a draw. That's all I can say.
You know that, don't you? You know that.
You know what the sad thing about Leicester was? One of the sad things I found was fans were that disappointed we only lost 2-0. That's what we've come to.
Sad.
Because we thought it was going to be 3-4 or 5 or something, and we were just going to be lambasted up there. And it is the hope that kills you. We get to 60, 65 minutes, and it's still 0-0, and you think, oh, you never know. We're not actually doing too badly. Then up pops Mr. Vardy, and you think, here we go.
It's a lovely goal.
It was.
To be fair to them, it was a very Arsenal goal, as a lot of people said. And yes, we talked about the hope and how it's the hope that kills you. Hopefully this show didn't kill anyone else out there in the Arsenal universe. Maybe when I burst into an American accent, it did, but who knows? At the end of the day, we love the Arsenal, don't we, guys? And all we want to do is, you know, see the best. And Amanda's lived long enough to see a little bit of the crap in the earlier days than me, because she's older.
Okay, all right.
No. And then KC, you know, you've been there, you've lived it, you've worn the shirt, and as an ex-player, it's tough to watch.
It's painful to watch, to be honest. And, you know, being sold that dream leaving Highbury.
Yeah, that's it.
We're moving to the Emirates to compete is really grating on me now.
Yeah.
And by the way, Ivan Gazidis, his parting gift to us was Unai Emery.
That was nice of him, wasn't it, everyone?
So nice of him, eh?
Yeah. I think I wrote to you today that the old Arsenal Football Club died the day we left Highbury.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a new era now, and it's not getting used to at all. And it's really tough. But in the meantime, despite how tough things are, you always support the club, love the club, because hopefully football's cyclical and our time will come again. And in the meantime, Amanda,
always Arsenal.